Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, like a slave all day.
Well, there we are. There we are, 2016, before you know it. Well, all I can say is I'm glad the holidays are behind us. I hope you've enjoyed them. I prefer working to whatever, everyone to each his own. Some are not home yet. I'm amazed at how many people don't work in America. I don't mean the welfare class. We all bash them every day. I mean how many in the middle class don't work and how many retirees don't work. Now, many retirees complain about the poor and about the immigrants who are sucking the system dry. And they'll get mad at me when I say, well, wait a minute now, hold on. I worked all my life. I'm entitled to retire at 55 and do nothing the rest of my life. Really? You think that's part of the human condition? Are you sure of that? Look back in history and see how many people stopped working at age 55 and then just went on vacations. It's unheard of. So you see, we're all part of the problem. Now, the biggest part of the problem, as you well know, are the first family. The two grifters just came back from another expensive, fat vacation in Hawaii. It seems interesting to me that as he gets smaller, she gets larger. I don't know what that's about. He keeps losing weight and she keeps, well, the opposite. I mean, I'm just a social observer, but there is a video from AP of the first family waddling and dashing up the steps of Air Force One after I don't know how many luau's she must have packed in on this trip. Anyway, it seems to me that Marie Antoinette had nothing on the First Lady. And we've seen nothing yet. This year will be a banner year for excess, as you well know, and attacks upon everything we hold dear to us. The phone number here, if you care to join the show, is 855-407-2282. And at the risk of offending those of you who don't like me blowing my own horn, may I blow my own horn for a moment, because no one else will? This came in 10 minutes ago. As you know, many people listen to this and other radio shows, unfortunately not on terrestrial stations, which I wish you would listen on, because that's the bread and butter of the show. The terrestrial radio stations, the big, big signals that we talk about every day. But many of you listen on iPhones and Android devices, computers. It's a growing trend, and that's called streaming radio. Many of you can't get it in some markets. You go on to a website and get it. Well, you may not know this because no one will tell it to you, but it just came in. There's a company that checks on these things, like who listens to the shows on streaming, and one of them is Talk Stream Live. And they sampled 1.7 million homes. 1.7 million devices, in other words, were sampled in the fourth quarter of 2015, October, November, December. And I'm happy to tell you that this show is number one by a land mile. They say that Savage's streaming success captured the top spot for all four quarters in 2015. His massive margins over all of the tour competitors is unparalleled. I have a 27 share. The next is Limbaugh at 14.1, which, I don't know, says a lot. And I want to thank you for listening to the show. Don't call and tell me how great I am. But I think it's important for you to know that the show is doing very well indeed, and I hope to build on this year in 2016. And we'll see where that goes. I can't promise you that I'll be on the air in 2017 anywhere. I may decide I've had enough. It's that simple. I may decide this is it. I may decide I've had enough. I may take you through the election and then disappear and never be seen again or heard from again. Or I may not. I have to see how the year goes. But this is a big year for talk radio. It's a big year for myself. And frankly, we don't know what the year is going to bring. Except we have a maniac in the White House who continues to upset the apple cart. He has a vendetta against all things dear to this nation, including the Constitution itself, as you well know. And I would be remiss to tell you that I don't notice these things. If you care to join the show, the phone number is 855-400-7282. I'm not ready to go into the full show that I have prepared for you today, and we have so many great headlines. I know that many of you are still warming up for the year. Some of you are not back. Some of you are not listening. The audience is just kind of coming into the tent. Every day when I get on the air, I imagine that there's a gigantic tent, sort of a revival meeting. Big tent. Not so much a stadium. Well, let's turn it from a tent into a stadium. Let's say, no, let's make it the tent. A tent the size of a stadium. And many of you get in early and take your seats and sit down and have a soda or a hot cup of coffee and wait for the show to begin. Some of you straggle in. Some of you are on the outside of the tent saying, what's going on in there? I welcome all of you. The show is daily, as you well know, on your local station. If you're listening in Dallas, there's been a program change. I've gone from one signal to another. I'm now on KLIF. If you're listening to me on KLIF in Dallas, you're going to get a special prize today. Any KLF caller gets priority because it's a new station for us. And we'll be giving you copies of Government Zero if you get on. But I want to begin with something that came to me from a listener. He said, Michael, I happened to listen to you New Year's Eve. You were one of the only talk show hosts who came in on New Year's Eve. Even the show broadcasts earlier than that, you know, fabled New Year's Eve slot. You were kind enough to take time out of your vacation, thank God. And you said something on that show that I think you should remember. And that was a story about how struggle has to be overcome to succeed. And it's a short piece from Thursday, New Year's Eve, that I'd like Robert to play right now. I knew if I wanted to climb out of poverty, no one was going to help me out of poverty. I had to do it myself. Buses and subways, and you have no idea the road, how, what it is to succeed. You think it was given to me because I'm white? Are you kidding me? Think someone reached down, oh, hello, white boy. Here's a gift for you. No, there was no such thing. This is a nonsense about white privilege, that there's an inside track and a wing. Yeah, if you were rich, there was an inside track, that's for sure. Your father got you into colleges you were not admitted to. They call it a legacy admission, right? You are a moron, but they let you in because your father gave money. Well, I didn't have a legacy admission. I had a slush admission. Was walking, walking slush with rubber boots on to the bus. That was the admission I had. Then take a job after school. I'm not complaining. When you're young, you can do anything. You think you can conquer the world, and in a way you can. You can move mountains if you have faith in yourself. And just keep going and going and going and going and going and going. Nothing stops you. Nothing. Not one, no matter what. And you're going to have 1,000 impediments. But the day you think the impediments are put there because it's unfair, because life should be easier, you're finished. You're never going to make it. Nothing will help you. You'll have a resentment factor that will cripple you the rest of your life. You have to expect impediments in everything you try to do. I'll never forget when I was 18 years old, I went to a sales seminar in Manhattan from a bunch of con men. I don't know what they were selling. Like a get-rich-quick scheme. You went to some number, you went to... I answered an ad. So I sat in the room, and some slick con men, old and young in a room, they were really sharp. And they were like, they taught you how to sell. I don't know what they were selling, but they gave me a sales book. To this day, I remember what they told. In the sales book, there was a line I'll never forget. It said, remember the sale begins when the customer says no. That has worked for me my entire life. That's 100% true. I was a timid kid. I didn't know how to sell, but I, if someone said no, I went away. Let's say I was even selling a newspaper route or a magazine.
Hey, would you like a magazine?
No, go away, kid. Oh, okay. Kids are scared. They're insecure. That's what they call kids. You have to learn to put on a shell and make believe you're not scared. But I learned that from them, remember the sale begins when the customer says no. I don't want to be that was true even with dating girls, I got to tell you the truth. Am I wrong? What do you think? Every girl, even if she likes you, is going to say no, isn't she? That's the nature of the boy and girl thing. Hey, Judy, would you like to go out Saturday? Hi. No, don't call me again. Okay. The kid hangs up. He's insecure. Moves to San Francisco. That's the last you hear of him. Never again. He's shattered because she said no to him. But the sale begins when Judy says no. You got to call Judy 10 times till Judy says yes. Just to get you off her back, she'll say yes. Let's say you're an ugly kid with pimples and she's the most beautiful cheerleader. If you keep calling her, just keep calling her. She'll say yes just to get rid of you.
She figures she'll go out with you just to have you stop already. And then she may actually like you. She'll find out, you know, he's not so bad, even though he's ugly with pimples. And he's a conservative. I might just, you never know.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO.
My New Year's resolution is to move forward on our unfinished business as much as I can.
Like flooding America with cheap labor for Zuckerberg.
That's what this American project is all about.
Uh-huh.
That's especially true for one piece of unfinished business. Epidemic of gun violence. Last month, we remembered the third anniversary of Newtown. This Friday, I'll be thinking about my friend, Gabby Giffords, 5 years into her recovery.
He's a demonic maniac. He has one goal. Take the Constitution apart one day at a time. He floods the U.S. job market with foreign competition. He skirts Congress once again. He seeks to admit another 100,000 foreigners to work here when jobs are few and labor market participation is very low. It is not in the interest of U.S. workers, especially tech workers. He is doing it only to satisfy the pirates in Silicon Valley and elsewhere in those businesses. He plans to award via executive order work permits to 100,000 foreign college graduates, including deportable aliens, in order to compete with U.S. workers for jobs. So he doesn't represent the United States in any way. He never has and he never will. He's just a smooth salesman. He's one of the greatest con men in the history of the world. And how he's gotten away without being impeached is only a matter of owning the government media complex and the fact that there is no Republican Party. The Republican Party consists of special interests, as you well know, and it is now a puppet Democrat party under the tutelage of Quisling O'Malley, whatever, sorry, I don't even know his name, Ryan, can't remember the beard. All I know is the beard. It's a myth that there's a Republican Party, just as there's a myth of cops who are killing young black men, another great myth of Barack Obama and his insane regime. I have the data. If you listen to these liars in the media and the liar in the White House, you'd think we're in the grip of an unprecedented crime wave, wanton murder, in which cops go out and randomly gun down innocent, unarmed teen blacks just for sport. It's a fake narrative put out by the gangsters and the Black Lives Matter movement. It's a lie put out about Ferguson, Missouri. It's a lie about Michael Brown. It's all a lie. I have the data. I have the data for you to look at and listen to, but I don't expect you to listen to the data any more than you listen to the true data on global warming, which is another gigantic propaganda exercise. I found something out over this week, as I've known for a long time. So-called progressives or so-called liberals are not interested in what the facts are. They're interested only in naked power, and they will use all means necessary to push their agenda, as you will find out in 2016. And so we have to push back. Let's take a quick call from New Mexico. Jacqueline on KOBE Radio. Fire away, Jacqueline. You're on the air.
I just wanted to say that I don't agree with Obama's policies, but I don't think it's fair to criticize him about taking a vacation. If we don't want presidents and their families to take vacations, we need to change the law.
You make an interesting point, but it's based upon a false narrative. No president in modern history has taken as many or as costly vacations as this imperial couple. You do know that, don't you?
Yes.
Well, okay, so that's the issue. And whether you're black or white shouldn't matter. What should matter is the imperial nature of the presidency that has reached a new low or a new high, depending upon which side of the aisle you're on, Jacqueline. This is not a racial issue. This is an issue of excess.
Right.
And I thank you for listening and being so reasonable. I wish that all people could disagree and be so reasonable as Jacqueline and I just were. But I used my words very carefully. This is an issue of excess. this couple dumps on everyone and makes believe that they're down with the people. Every time she gives a speech, she brings up how hard her childhood was. Nonsense. She grew up a wealthy middle class, well-to-do family, and she makes believe she was in the hood of Chicago. It's a lie. It's part of the myth-making. But okay, it's too early in the year to get involved with this right now. Let me ask you some technical questions the minute I come back about the news. Here's a great caller, though. Brian on KLIF in Dallas, my brand new affiliate, and no more KLIF callers for now. I'm glad you're listening and found me. Go ahead, please, Brian.
Good afternoon, Dr. Savage. Quick question for you. With the everyday battle of what today is America, how do you keep your energy and your focus? What do you do to keep fighting?
It's a very interesting question, and I ask myself, where does it come from every day? Because most men half my age have given up already. Never mind my age. You know that for a fact. Most people say, you know what, the heck with the world. Let it go where it's going to go. I can't change things. Let me just have a good time and let someone else worry about it. And that's the basic attitude of human beings. I get it. I don't have a direct answer for you. I mean, I have a couple of different answers. I think I've been gifted with a phenomenal amount of energy that I never knew. I always knew I was energetic, but I didn't know I was this energetic. You know, it comes down to the finish line, where you are at the finish line, not at the start. A lot of people start out hot and they just, you know, die out along the way. So I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just luck. I don't know what to say. I also believe that we're supposed to leave the world a better place than we find it. I was taught that by liberal professors when I was young and in college. I used to hear that liberal adage. Try to leave the world a better place than you found it. Well, how can you leave the world a better place than you found it when you have a man who is so intent upon destroying everything decent in this country? And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Why would he flood America with illegal aliens? Does that help even black people? Let's focus on that for a minute. How does flooding America with illegal aliens help the poorest of the poor, whether they be black or white? It does not. So you have to see that we have very powerful interests at work here that transcend race and time. Back in a minute on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage. Right, let's get down to brass tacks. It's 2016, and the presidential race is the number one issue for talk radio from now right through the election in November. The average person will still listen to music and sports right until the election. That's if they even care about it. That's if they even vote. But we're going to talk about it. I'm not going to do it 3 hours a day because it's boring. How much can you say? Donald Trump ran his first political ad today, which is worth playing, by the way. We're going to play it in a minute. It's really worth hearing because he's doubling down on all his positions. And we're expecting Mr. Trump on the show sometime this week or very soon. I don't pressure them. He'll be on when he'll be on. You know, you're not going to demand and get anything out of a relationship. If he wants to come on the show, he's welcome anytime. He knows I support him because he knows that his ideas and my ideas are very similar. It's that simple. So let me continue to take some calls on the Savage. You know, I had a topic I was going to cover, which is, do you spank your child? For an interesting side note, because the highest court in Massachusetts, which, of course, all courts are high in Massachusetts all the time, as you well know. They're all high all the time, and given that the legal profession are filled with ex-stoners. But the highest of the high people in courts in Massachusetts has ruled that the state child welfare agency acted legally when it denied a couple's application to become foster parents. Why? Because they spanked their children. They used corporal punishment on their biological children in accordance with their Christian faith. And they said they would not spank any foster children. But a lawyer for the state said many foster children are traumatized, and seeing another child spanked in front of them could further traumatize them. So the parents said the Department of Children and Families decision was arbitrary and capricious and infringes on their constitutional religious rights. So the Supreme Judicial Court's decision today said that the parents' rights are outweighed by the department's interest in protecting foster children. Well, I'd be interested to see if the High Court in Massachusetts protects the rights of young Muslim children who are sexually molested in the form of, how shall I put it in a pleasant way, one of the religious practices, which is clitorectomies. Or will the same High Court say that that's a parental right because it's their religious belief? We'll have to wait and see. Let's take a call. David on KLIF in Dallas, Texas. Welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
I was going to ask you real quick. We got Donald Trump stating he's going to cut the head off of ISIS. You know, we've got Cruz and Rubio talking tough about what they're going to do about ISIS, which I find refreshing to have from a candidate, first of all. But with Russia in there now, basically taking up the void that we left, what are we going to be able to do once they get in there? They've got a whole another year before they're actually going to be in office. And we've got Russia trying to broker a peace between Saudi Arabia and Iran now. So the longer they're there and the more we're absent, I mean, what are they going to be able to do once we actually get in office? If we can get the...
I think you're asking a question for which the answer is kind of obvious. Why do you want to interfere with what Russia is doing since they're doing what Obama can't or won't do? In other words, let's start with the issues. If you said... Russia is brokering a peace between Saudi Arabia and Iran. Isn't that a good thing?
Yeah.
So why would we want to interfere with Russia's brokering a peace deal? We don't want war. So I don't quite understand what you're saying. I think what you're implying is now that America has lost its power as a broker in the Middle East and virtually everywhere else because of the imposter in the White House, will anyone ever be able to regain it? I think that's what you're asking, isn't it?
Yes.
I don't know that we need to regain the power in the Middle East and elsewhere. Let Russia pick up the mantle and run with it. Let them have the headache of dealing with the maniacs in the Middle East, you know, if they can. You know, they got pretty badly beaten up in Afghanistan. It's what destroyed the Soviet Union. I'm not so sure that Russia, as powerful as it is, even under the strongman Vladimir Putin, is going to be able to manage the Middle East. I believe it's unmanageable. The British learned it. The Russians learned it. The Americans have learned it or are going to learn it very soon. How are you going to manage Muslims who hate each other for the last 1,000 years? This war between Shiites and Sunni have been going on since the 11th century. No outsider is ever going to fix that. So many people would say, what do we need to be there at all? What's the point of managing them? We don't even need their oil anymore. There was once a time that there was a strategic reason for managing the factions in the Middle East. That was oil. We have just killed the fracking industry because it was driving the price of oil down. Once it starts up again, if oil should ever go up again, we don't need the Middle East oil. Eventually, they're going to be begging for income in those Arab potentates. You know that. So I don't think that it's a bad thing that Russia is in the Middle East, by the way. I think it's a good thing. Let's go to WGOW Radio on this topic of another topic. Let's see, your name is Bob. Bob, what's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, I think that the reason why your streaming numbers are so high, maybe it's a lot of people like me who, now I listen to WGOW at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, but I'm working, and I can't hear every word. I got to get out of the car. I miss a little bit. So I'm getting that on the device, and then the next morning I'm listening to the show again, and I'm picking up all the details that I missed, all the segments that I may not have been able to hear. That's probably something that attracts people to you specifically. I miss a little bit here and there, whatever. But, Mike, I'm not going to miss anything that comes on this show because there's some gems in there, and it's important that I get the entire show, and I'll get that from 3 until it's over. And then the next morning when I'm going to work, I'll pick up the little pieces that I may have missed. And I think that's something that's different about your show that the other shows.
I think that this is a reflection of my background as a writer and as a scientist and as a teacher, which is I try to make most of the words count. They don't always all count. Sometimes I goof around. Sometimes I'll transcend the political or the serious into the ridiculous. You know, I like to play around on the radio as well. But the fact is that there's a lot of deep content in most of my show. And I'm not doing this to compare myself and say I'm better than the others. The fact is that there's a difference. And I just think people go, they gravitate to where they want to gravitate to. And I think that the podcasts give people a chance to do what you just said, which is to get into the deep weeds. In other words, the grass, and start listening again and say, well, what did he really mean when he said that about Russia today? Can I listen to that again? Because I just said something, I think, important about Russia. And I don't know that people caught what I said. I don't think it's a bad thing that Russia is there. I think they're doing what we should be doing. But Obama has lost so much credibility that Iran and Saudi Arabia would not listen to him, neither trust him. So I don't know. See if Russia can do that. Bob, where is GOW Radio? I don't mean to be obnoxious about it. What city are you in?
Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Oh, I love Tennessee. Thank you so much for calling, Bob. I appreciate that. Well, you know, Government Zero had a good run, and it came out in October. It made it to number 3 on the New York Times list. It's still selling, by the way, because even in the election year, people want to look back and say, wait a minute, this is not old news. Page 71, Islam's 1400-year war against the world. Maybe that would help the New York Times understand that this didn't begin with George Bush. Maybe the idiots in the media could learn a little history by reading the book. Maybe they could learn that there's a thing called the Vostok ice core samples, which may help them understand that global warming, global cooling is a natural phenomenon, which is certainly not to argue for pollution. See, this is the problem. I want to go into that another time. I don't really want to get sidetracked right now. The fact is that there's a lot of information there, but I have a new ebook coming out this week, which I'm not going to talk about to any great extent at all. It's on how to fight viral diseases, how to fight colds, how to fight the flu. It's about immigrants and epidemics, about the diseases that immigrants are bringing in, and how Obama has opened the floodgates. I have the data on it that's going to make your hair stand up. But, you know, I've talked about this for years. Remember when he flooded America with the Central American kids? Not this summer, but the summer before. And how many of them were bringing in a new strain of flu that was knocking our kids dead, killing some of them, paralyzing others. It is all in this book on immunity that's an ebook that'll be out. I don't even know how to direct you to it right now because it's not for sale yet. But I'm telling you what's on the horizon. And then in May, I have my Teddy book coming out. It's basically a picture book of me and my little dog, Ted. The 11-pound poodle who thinks he's a 110-pound Newfoundland. He has no idea how big he is, how small he is. But he finds out once in a while when he tangles with the wrong dog. I was at a friend's house in Los Angeles who had a 120-pound... His name was Henry. I don't know what he was. Just a big, black, furry dog that was so big. You know the type of dog that lumbers in the house? I'm used to a little guy you can pick up like a pocketbook when he disturbs you. And say, come on, calm down. This one you can't pick up. But it's always the same thing, like, he'll be okay, don't worry, he's fine, he won't hurt you. Meanwhile, I mean, he's pretty intimidating. I said, what was he bred for? He was carrying things, pulling carts in the Swiss Alps. You know, those guys with the kegs, those big dogs. Sweet dog, he did calm down eventually, to be honest with you, and he eats less than my dog. I don't understand that. I don't know how this big dog eats less than my dog does. They said one cup of kibble a day? No wonder he's running around like a lunatic. You know, give him to me, he'd be 20 pounds heavier and probably a lot calmer. He'd be able to relax after the show like I do. But I want to play for you a little political stuff and see what you think of it. You probably heard it on other shows. Everyone has heard about it so far. But we're going to talk about it here on the show. Let's play Donald Trump's first paid political ad right now.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
The politicians can pretend it's something else, but Donald Trump calls it radical Islamic terrorism. That's why he's calling for a temporary shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until we can figure out what's going on. He'll quickly cut the head off ISIS and take their oil. And he'll stop illegal immigration by building a wall on our southern border that Mexico will pay for.
We will make America great again.
There you go. There you go again. All of the intellectuals hate Donald Trump. Oh, they're so smart. Oh, all of the great left-wingers, they're so smart. The country's being overrun. The economy is being hollowed out. The language is being bastardized. You name it. But they're so smart, they know that Trump's an evil man. Why, he's Mussolini, maybe even Hitler. He's so bad. Why? Why? What has he done that's so bad? Well, he doesn't want Muslims to come in. Oh, he doesn't. Well, let's analyze that for a moment. And let's see what the waves of recent Muslim migrants have brought to America. Well, let's go to Europe to see the real truth. Came out today. 1,000 plus migrants brawl, rape, sexually assault, and steal at only one German train station on New Year's Eve. It was in Breitbart today by Oliver Lane. Did you hear what happened in Cologne, the hotbed of Islam? It turned into a war zone. 1,000 of them celebrated by throwing fireworks into crowds and sexually assaulting German women caught up in the train station. I'll read the ordeal to you on the Savage Nation so you can see what they said to her and what they did to her and other girls who they considered fair game because they're not Muslims, they're considered whores. I'm sorry to be so blunt, all of you intellectuals out there, but groping is groping and cursing is cursing. And the group was made up exclusively of young Muslims who attacked these German girls. So many men groping at her that she couldn't even identify any of the perpetrators to the police. One woman had her tights and underwear torn off by the crowd of young migrants. And a police in Cologne said that there had been rapes at the station that night. So far, police have identified 80 victims of the Muslim gangs, 35 of which were subjected to sexual attacks. Others were men or women simply assaulted or robbed. There's your migrants. You want more of them in America? Then why don't you join the intellectuals at the New York Times who think that Trump is evil? Maybe you can bring some of these people to a neighborhood near you and then say, I don't know how it happened. Merkel should be arrested for war crimes. Angela Merkel in Germany is a war criminal for what she is doing to Germany. How she gets away with it is astounding, but it's no different than what goes on in America. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. It is the Savage Nation. One of the things that I'm going to tell Mr. Trump that I'd love for him to do when he becomes president is immediately conduct a congressional investigation of the ACLU, the most dangerous organization in the history of the United States. If we can uncouple the ACLU, if we can determine the foreign sources of funding, if we can try them under RICO statutes, and we can break up the ACLU, we can possibly save America. They just put out a news release. ACLU comment on raids of Central American families in the United States. And it says to contact Inga Sarder Sorensen. And they're condemning, guess who? The Homeland Security Department, Jay Johnson. Because Jay Johnson said that it will continue its raids against families who have come to the U.S. after fleeing violence in Central America, like we don't have enough of them. That's a ploy, by the way. Oh, it's violent. Oh, yeah, come on in. Cecilia Wang, director of the ACLU's so-called Immigrant Rights Project, said, these raids are a scare tactic to deter other families fleeing violence in Central America. Blah, blah, blah. So Obama, who has flooded America with illegals from everywhere, by the way, the number one source of immigrants coming to America is China right now. Did you know that? That's a little secret that most of you don't know. China is flooding America with those from their own nation they don't want. And so now we are swimming in immigrants, and Secretary Jay Johnson, after failing us in Southern California by not stopping the act of the Muslim murderers, suddenly shows he's getting tough and he's going to crack down on the families. He's going to do nothing. And even that little act of Homeland Security is too much for the subversives at the ACLU. Donald, if you're listening, one of the first acts should be a congressional investigation of the criminals in the Anti-Christian Liberties Union.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
New Monday. It's a Monday. Got to work, plan to sleep all deep. Here come Tuesday. Oh, Tuesday.
Well, we knew he was going to do it. We know that the demonic left-wing fanatic in the White House would not stop until it's over. And no one knows whether he'll even leave office. The man is getting away with so many executive actions without any opposition. And there's a high likelihood he will try any trick he can to stay in office. But today, he just gave another speech fresh back from his surfing vacation in Hawaii, where he lost more weight. And he said he's going to press ahead with executive action on gun control after meeting with the stooges in law enforcement, such as Al Sharpton's pick, Loretta Lynch. And he demanded and claimed he has the legal authority to act when he does not. And he says, I have the legal authority to defy Congress, which he does not. And we'll have to see if there is a Congress or a Supreme Court. We don't know where they are. Where'd the Supreme Court go? Where's that branch of government? We know Congress was neutralized by the executive, the imperial presidency. But anyway, we'll have to see. And I'll tell you where I stand on this. No gun control at all. Zero. And I'll tell you why. You know, you say, well, it's only a small, you know, act. He's going to make sure that they don't give the guns to the crazies. We're all for that. But it's the old, you know, camel's toe in the tent thing here. If you let these left-wing fanatics put their toe in the tent, they'll tear that tent down. And I want to remind the great president about something, even though I know he doesn't listen to the show. He listens only to national Democrat radio, NDR. Or CNN, Crescent News Network, the one-stop channel for Sharia law. The fact of the matter is that even Kagan, that Supreme Court justice of ours, and in America, everything's like a mad comic. She's a Supreme Court justice. Unbelievable to me. In my day, the most a Bialy woman. Kagan, she'd be wearing a dirty apron on Rivington Street selling Bialy stuckers with in her father's Bialy store. But she's Supreme Court Justice. He put her in. Even she, when she was going through her congressional hearing, Robert, could you find it, Kagan on gun control? She said when they were grilling her, where do you stand on the Second Amendment? Kagan said it's established law. And I'm going to find the clip. Even Kagan, a left-wing fanatic, handpicked by Obama, said that the Second Amendment is established law. So how does he have legal authority? I don't know. He has no legal authority. He's just doing as though he's Mussolini. That's all. That's simple. Let's take some calls. Marion on the internet. Welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Marion?
Thank you. I'm a Trump supporter, and I just heard the clip, and I was reminded of a personal experience I had this weekend with a relative who is conservative, and I found out he absolutely despises Trump, and if Trump should get the nomination, that he would even vote for Hillary. He's always been a conservative. And I think maybe he's got a touch of intellectual elitism. What do you think?
What is it about Trump that your so-called conservative relative doesn't like?
Well,
hello?
Don't say they aren't specific. I
heard from a guy I know, a psychiatrist, who's somewhat Republican conservative. He said, do you know he doesn't even finish sentences? Do you know that he speaks in an almost illiterate way? Have you heard that argument?
Yeah.
Well, look at how super literate Obama is. I mean, is literacy the only metric we should be using for a president? He's very literate, Obama. He never misses a syllable. So I don't know that Trump's mangling of sentences matters that much to me. I know that I agree with him on most of his points, like ban all Muslim immigrants until we can figure out who's coming in, build a wall with Mexico, make Mexico pay for it. What's wrong with that idea? It was in my book, Stop the Coming Civil War Anyway. I'm sure that was read by one of his staffers. It's right in my book, Stop the Coming Civil War, one of my 17 talking points. So I agree with Trump on virtually everything. I don't know what he said yet that I disagree with.
Well, he's educated.
So your main point is that, what, the thinking right also doesn't like Trump? Who, you mean the National Review? The National Review crowd that doesn't like Michael Savage, that crew of false elitists, he's not good enough for them. I know the attitude. Yeah, he's not a member of their club. He's not a member of their little club, their little Bund. Trump's not a member of the National Review Bund. I'll be right back. No, it's too early for a break. Sorry. So, you know, I brought up the spanking. No one took the bait on that. And speaking of Trump, I guess we'll stick to Trump for a minute. There was a guy from Esquire magazine, of all places. Who reads Esquire? I don't know. I thought it was a girly magazine from the 50s. I never looked at it since. I found it in my friend's father's drawer once in 1957. I haven't looked at it since. But nevertheless, it's considered something so important that they have one of the pornographers from Esquire on Meet the Press. I call it Meet Depressed, which was picked up by others in their media soon thereafter. And one of the depressed hosts on NBC has him on, and he attacks Donald Trump in clip 3.
I mean, when you look at all the ethnicities, whites are the angriest of all Americans, with white women in particular being the angriest subgroup. But when you ask them why, the majority of white men and women get really angry when they say that the American dream is not what it used to be, that America's leadership role in the world is not what it used to be, and that life didn't turn out for them the way that they thought it would be. This is the anger of perceived diminishment. And it's why a slogan like Make America Great Again resonates so strongly with, you know, white middle class voters.
And what is he? I love all the whites who tell whites what they're thinking and they don't like white. Don't you like that one? I mean, we found it over the week. Geez, last week was bad. I didn't say the word. I said the J word, but I didn't finish it. I said geez. I mean, the racism in America now that's coming up from the swamp is overwhelming because of Obama's constantly fueling racism. Last week I played on the show Samuel Jackson Jr., who I thought was a good actor. I will never, ever watch anything that he's in again, ever. If I see him on TV, I'll go right by it. Movies I liked him in, won't watch. Movies in, will not go to. The hatred for whites is overwhelming. They're coming out of their mouths. One day after another, I never knew so much hatred existed for white people. Especially when the majority of Americans who go to the movies are white, and they attack them left and right. Well, anyway, that's one of the reasons there's so much anger in the country. The hatred that's been stirred up by this administration is overwhelming, but I don't want to focus on it. The stock market went down 350 points over China economy fears, but it's a bigger problem than Chinese slowdown. We all know that everything goes up and everything comes down. There's also a limit. There is a limit to how high anything can go. There's also a limit to how an economy can keep growing. There's a limit to how far an economy... It can't endlessly grow. China went from basically the rickshaw to the Oldsmobile in one generation. Right? I should pick a better car than that. From the rickshaw to... I need an R car. From the rickshaw to the Rolls-Royce. Yeah, from the rickshaw to the Rolls in one generation. The biggest export market for Bentley is China, by the way. So they went from the rickshaw to the Rolls in one generation. How long can that go on? And the question is, what's going to happen to the economy this year? Everyone's asking. And we don't know. No one knows. So we think that the economy is going to tank just in time for the Republicans to pick up the broken economy. You know what I'm saying? It's time to pass the baton to the Republicans now and let them try to fix it. 855-407-282. Here are some of the other topics I haven't gotten to. Heavy preparation. Here are the questions. Do you feel that Bernie Sanders is any real competition to Hillary? Are you kidding? He's the comedian put into the pack of cards to make it look like someone's running against her. Is the Republican Party now coming around to the idea of Trump as their candidate? Of course they are. They did everything to block him, and now they're for him. Does Trump's crossover appeal make him a better person to vote for? You know that the conservative Democrats are going to vote for him, those who've had no one to vote for years, but it will always be a Democrat are going to vote for Trump. You know that. Do you believe in any type of gun control? If so, what? What kind of backlash can Obama expect if he moves forward with his gun control executive action? In your mind, are the Oregon ranch protesters terrorists or patriots? That's a hot question. Many of you don't know what's going on in Oregon. I've studied it to a certain extent. I think I know what's going on, and we'll see what happens. I pray the FBI makes it a peaceful resolution and doesn't put that father and son in jail for the fire. That was an accidental fire. Because so far as I know, the FBI hasn't cracked down on the Ferguson rioters or those who burnt Baltimore to the ground. Where's the FBI on that? They're running after two ranchers who started a backfire to stop a fire that burned some government land and they're putting them in jail. Where is the oppressive federal government on the thugs who burned the cities of Ferguson, Missouri and Baltimore, Maryland? You wonder why there's anger? There'd be plenty of anger if you saw what was really going on. These other questions I'm not going to read. You know, sometimes you prepare questions hours before a show, and then you're in the thick of it, and they don't resonate. So those are good questions, and I invite you to join the program by calling 855-407-2822. Here are some other headlines. Islam versus free speech. Twitter surrenders. Investors.com says Obama floods the U.S. job market with foreign competition to lower wages. Jennifer Harper of the Washington Times, an all-around fabulous journalist, says, Hillary Clinton vows to investigate UFOs in Area 51 and alien visitors. She's really in touch. She is so in touch. Robert, do we have dear old Hillary talking about aliens and UFOs? Why doesn't she investigate the aliens from Iraq and the aliens from Syria instead of the aliens from Mars? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO.
She understands what it takes to keep our country as safe as possible, to stop big bad things from happening and make as many good things happen as possible. When she was Secretary of State, she negotiated those sanctions on Iran and unbelievably got Russia and China to sign off on them. I didn't think she could do that. The only thing that has survived the estrangement of the United States and Russia from our attempt to do better is something called the New START Treaty, negotiated by Hillary's State Department, which makes us much safer from the prospect of an accidental or intentional nuclear exchange. In a dangerous world, I think that's a pretty good deal.
He doesn't talk about the fact that she caused the refugee crisis that is swamping Europe and threatens to destroy Europe with her Arab Spring, of course, because the people are stupid. I'm sorry to say that people are dumb. They don't know that it was Hillary Clinton who, I wouldn't say instigated, but enacted the Arab Spring program. It was George Soros, the most, I don't know, have words for him. If it was me, I'd have Interpol searching for him. George Soros has caused more damage on this globe than any single man in our lifetime. He is almost a Dr. Silvana from the old Superman comics. The evil genius who does everything he can to wreck the very societies that made us allowed him to make his fortune. But let's go on a lighter note. Okay, it's Monday. It's a long week, a long month, and a long year ahead of us. The clown of the campaign is Bernie Sanders. I would rather talk about Colonel Sanders. At least he provides a useful product from the grave than chicken is better than what this guy provides. So here is a guy who is so unqualified for the presidency that only people in Vermont could make him a senator. Listen to clip four.
You know, we have enormous problems facing this country, and I think we got more things to worry about than Bill Clinton's sexual life. I think, interestingly enough, maybe Donald Trump might want to focus attention on climate change and understand that climate change is not a hoax as he believes that it is.
No, he's a hoax. That is, Bernie Sanders is a hoax. So what would he know what a hoax is? If you're a hoax yourself, how can you know what a hoax is? Why are liberals obsessed with climate change? What is this obsession? What is this obsession? Most of them are polluters. I don't know. I have a theory on it. I know that a guy like him is a red diaper doper baby, admittedly. Red diaper baby from birth, commie parents, pot added to the red diaper pot creates insanity. But that's an old story. I mean, there's plenty of red diaper doper babies that are not this crazy. I don't know. It could be the seltzer. And I'm very serious about it. No one has looked into this. Many of you don't know what seltzer is, but it was a very important beverage amongst Bernie Sanders' community in his youth. There were seltzer men and seltzer bottles on every table in his youth. And the seltzer men delivered cases of seltzer, which was carbonated water, in these bottles that everyone was afraid was going to explode. They were like pressure cookers. Every household that ever had one, it was only a ticking time bomb sitting on a dinner table waiting to blow up and kill everyone at the table. They were like little hand grenades, but you pressed a lever and the water came out, right? And I'm not joking when I say to you they should look into what effect drinking so much carbonated water had on the minds of men like Bernie Sanders. Would you? And they're obsessed with carbon dioxide. This is why I've come to this, not conclusion, but this suggestion that their obsession with climate change and carbon dioxide, which is by the wrong gas to focus on with regard to global warming anyway, even if the atmosphere is heating up, the carbon dioxide appears not, it's there as a result of the heating up, not, it doesn't cause it. Let me put it to you that way. But nevertheless, they're obsessed with carbon dioxide because of the seltzer. All those tiny bubbles have to go somewhere. So think of the young Bernie Sanders guzzling glass after glass of seltzer water. Where did all that carbon dioxide go? I would think some of those bubbles may have gone to his brain. And I believe that that could explain, A, the obsession with carbon dioxide, the wrong metric, and B, the false conclusions that they come to, such as the fact that not Islamic terrorism, but a slight cooling or heating of the earth is the world's most important problems. Well, Bill hit the stage today for Hillary, again undermining her. As he spoke, women on the stage were seen scowling, grimacing, and looking anywhere but him. Once again, Bill Clinton is out to sabotage his wife. And I hope to God he succeeds. For the first time in his life, I wish him the greatest success.
I have just received back a report from Attorney General Lynch. Director called me, as well as Deputy Director about some of the ideas and initiatives that they think can make a difference. And the good news is that these are not only recommendations that are well within my legal authority and the
executive branch. It is. But you're a criminal. You have no legal authority to do these things. You know that.
The American people, including gun owners.
Nonsense. Liar. Every day. And the monster's back. You know, we had 2 weeks of a respite of the monster. We for 2 weeks, you can breathe easily. Now he's back like a vampire goes for the blood of the nation again. I feel like a vampire just came back from Hawaii and he stuck his fangs into the jugular again to take another sip of the blood that remains. That's rich. That's a good one. It's like, doesn't he sound vampire-like? This guy won't stop. He has achieved so much that the far left has dreamed of for so long. You would think that he could rest on his laurels. You would think he could slow down. You would think he would let the rest of America breathe easily, but he will not. This is the mark of a madman. I've tried to tell you that I think he's crazy. By all definition, he's a psychopath. Anyone with this obsession for power and control, to this extent now, and this animus towards the largest percentage of the population is by definition a psychopath, or at least a sociopath. And I don't know the difference, by the way, between either. What's the difference between a sociopath like Barry Obama and a psychopath? Can you tell me? Is there a doctor in the house? So we have a big fight on our hands this year.
And coupled with the declining economy, I don't know if this is going to continue, but Wall Street opened with a sharp dive today after a collapse in China on the opening day of 2016. And, you know, we'll have to see if this means a downturn and if real estate's going to follow. Let's face it, real estate is tied to the market, and the boom, boom, go-go days may be over for a while. I mean, how long can this go on with the Dow up around, you know, 17.8, 17.6? How high can it go? Dow plummeted more than 400 points on Monday, slipping past the 17,000 level for the first time since October. It just days after Wall Street experienced the worst year-end since 2008. That's all. 855. Don't call on the economy. What can we say about it? I don't know. I don't know what's coming tomorrow. Do you? So if you care to comment on any of the great topics I've raised thus far on this first show of the year 2016, the phone number is 855-407-2822. So we have him back again, the vampire, and he's going after guns now, and he has to be stopped. It's that simple. He must be stopped at all costs. Now, in defense of the NRA, which I don't like, I don't happen to like Wayne LaPierre for personal reasons. I'll be very honest with you. I think that these are power-mad people, all of them. But I support the NRA 100% in their attempts to stop the maniac. Did you find the clip from Kagan that I asked for about 30 minutes ago, Robert? You do! Okay, I want to remind you. I'll tell you why I don't like Wayne LaPierre. I never met him. I made a very large donation to the organization about 5 or 8 years ago, and they sent me the most arrogant form letter you could ever imagine. And when I raised my anger at them, I said, how dare you respond like this to this size donation? They said, well, if you'd like, we can possibly get Wayne LaPierre on your radio show. I never gave them another 10 cents. Like all organizations, they're only as good as the people that run them. Their message is good. The work is good. But believe me, the people on the top of any of these organizations are no different than the president or the Republican Party. They're all one and the same. Make no mistake about that. Now we have for you something very important about guns and gun ownership. Many of you are very concerned about this because you understand what an oppressive government can do to a population that is unarmed. You know that a manipulative government like this, the only reason they haven't come in with tanks yet to kill the people in Oregon is because they're armed to the teeth. If those militiamen in Oregon had no weapons, and they have pretty heavy weapons with them, they're ex-veterans, a lot of them, and if this government saw them as sitting ducks, believe me, they'd roll over them with the armored personnel carriers, but they're not going to do it, only because they're armed. This is an armed standoff going on in Oregon. And I'll tell you more about that, what this is. It's a disgrace that this federal government would do this to these guys. They put a father and son in jail for a fire they accidentally started on a federal land when it was a backfire that they had started to stop a bigger fire, and some of the backfire spread into the federal land. I know the whole story. Trust me. I'm not just talking out of my ears. This very same oppressive fascisti government that did nothing to the thugs who burnt Ferguson, who looted in Ferguson, the thugs who burned Baltimore, is going after these two white men. This is a racist administration to the core. From the top to the bottom, it selectively targets people that they hate. And they generally hate white, heterosexual, Christian males who believe in the Second Amendment. If I could be more specific, I would be. But I can't be. And so, here we go. This is very important for you to hear. No one else in radio has had this. They'll all have it tomorrow. I remember the hearings when Elena Kagan, she's on the Supreme Court, I don't have to ridicule her any more than I already did, probably a very nice person, but never, ever, ever was she at the level of a Supreme Court justice. She had written nothing to distinguish herself in the world of jurisprudence. She's known for nothing, any more than the most brilliant Latina in history wrote anything of any importance whatsoever. But Obama picked them simply to be the stooges that he likes along the lines of the Attorney General. The Attorney General who threatened the First Amendment, if you remember last month. Remember that one? She was going to go after anyone who said something against anything against Islam. She was going to criminalize it. Do you remember that? This is the kangaroo court now running America. This is a dictatorship as true as I'm sitting here. But Elena Kagan who is a liberal, maybe a true liberal, as opposed to a fanatic stooge. I don't know. So when she was grilled by the Republicans and she was being heard to see whether she could sit on the Supreme Court, which was a given anyway, given the fake Republican Party that it was then and now, she was asked what she had to say about the Second Amendment. Let's hear it, Robert.
Is there any doubt after the court's decision, Heller and McDonald, that the Second Amendment to the Constitution secures a fundamental right for an individual to own a firearm, use it for self-defense in their home?
There is no doubt, Senator Leahy. That is binding precedent, entitled to all the respect of binding precedent in any case. So that is settled law.
It is settled law. Well, I hope she sticks to her guns, so to speak, in the coming days and months, because it is settled law. And, of course, Leahy, who is a real crazy left-winger, asked this question of her to allay the suspicions of those on the conservative side who suspected that she'd go right after guns the minute she became a Supreme Court justice. But we'll have to see what happens this year as the maniac in the White House continues his power grabs and violates the Constitution on an even more deeper level. So what I just played for you is, I think, the most important soundbite of 2016. Incidentally, I know you didn't hear it anywhere else because no one has a memory like I do for it, sound and radio. Nobody. Nobody can. I'm sorry. Period. I'm boasting. Too bad. I just told you something. That soundbite will be heard over and over and over again this week on radio because I found it. And, of course, all the other hosts are going to have their production staff working like galley slaves around the clock to find it. They'll probably pull it right from my show because I don't own it. God bless them. I don't own it. I'm like Lao Tzu. I do not own it. Take it and run with it. Like Abby Hoffman said, steal the soundbite. It's that simple. The world must hear it over and over again. But remember where you heard it first on the Savage Nation. It is the most important soundbite of the year. I'm going to play it again and again on this show. We're going to play it, I think, every day. Elena Kagan's going to be heard every day on the Savage Nation. Now, I got some great callers. I got to take a few of them, if you don't mind. We got callers on all these topics from around the country. Let us go to John on WVNN Radio. John, go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage, I can elucidate on how Mr. Obama is not a psychopath, but that he is a sociopath. A sociopath is an insane person who cleverly mimics human behavior, but feels no human compassion, guilt, or remorse, or conscience, and his manifestation of that insanity is his pathological dishonesty. The man doesn't know the difference between the truth and a lie. He only knows what he wants it to be true. And he woos and charms people to get what he wants, because what he wants is the truth for him, and it should be the truth for you. And he doesn't understand why you don't get it.
Now, I think you're talking about the President of the United States as a sociopath, correct, John?
I am. He's a sociopath, and he's a pathological liar. He's not a psychopath. A psychopath displays the manifestation of his insanity, his psychotic behavior. He can't cleverly mimic human behavior. He or she is out of control. Mr. Obama is very much in control, as you can see, and he does woo and charm to get his way. But again, it is not as though he's aware he's lying, because the lie, what he says is what he wants to be true, and therefore it becomes true for him. And that is a classic cycle.
Listen to what he just said about gun control. He said, "I have the legal authority." Robert, do you have that again? We have to listen to this again in terms of this discussion of, is he a psychopath or a sociopath? Listen again, Robert. Play that one, what he just said.
I've just received back a report from Attorney General Lynch.
Sure, just received back.
Director Comey, as well as Deputy Director Brandon, about some of the ideas and initiatives that they think can make a difference. And the good news is that these are not only recommendations that are well within my legal authority and the executive branch,
liar,
but they're also ones that the overwhelming majority of the American people.
All right, he's a total liar.
Gun owners.
They're not allowed to make laws in the executive branch. And by the way, did you know they cannot make law in the executive branch? Did you know that? Do any of you know that? I've studied this in and out. I could even cite chapter and verse on it, and I'm no legal scholar. Anyone who knows the rudiments of politics knows that this government was set up so that a dictator like he never arose. But here he is arising in front of your eyes, a vampire again, to suck more blood out of the Constitution. He does not have the legal authority to write law. He's going to make believe he's not writing law, by the way. What he's going to say, the liar, the sociopath is going to say that he's only interpreting the law. Well, will anyone listening to the show tell me how you can interpret what Elena Kagan said to mean that he has the right to control guns? Where does he have that right? Listen again to Elena Kagan as she was being confirmed to become a Supreme Court justice, and she is a flaming liberal. Listen.
Is there any doubt after the court's decision in Heller and McDonald that the Second Amendment to the Constitution secures a fundamental right for an individual to own a firearm, use it for self-defense in their home?
There is no doubt, Senator Leahy. That is binding precedent, entitled to all the respect of binding precedent in any case. So that is settled law.
Settled law. All right, I can ridicule her accent because she sounds like the relatives I ran away from in New York, but that's besides the point. It is settled law. And since it is settled law, and even Connie Leahy, another one from Vermont, said that an individual has the right to own a weapon, a firearm. Didn't he say firearm, I think? For self-defense, there's no legal avenue for Obama to use that is legal. There's only an avenue of pure sociopathic behavior. That's what we're talking about, John, isn't it? The sociopath is inventing the fact that he thinks he has the right. Isn't that it?
It is exactly that. And trust me, I had the misfortune to live with growing up a pathological liar. They truly do believe that what they say is true, but it's founded not in fact, it's founded in their desire for this to be true. I want this to be true, therefore it becomes true for me. And then that's a telltale marker of a pathological liar. When they look at you angry and disturbed because you don't get it. I just told you this is so, why don't you get it? That is Obama in a nutshell.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. He as a kid was never, I would think, never disciplined, never chastised. Everything was, all the skids were greased for him by his grandparents who raised him. You know that, correct?
Yes, and I've listened to an interview with a high school chum of his, and she said Barry, as he was known, was his brand was being a mooch. He mooched drugs and cigarettes and food, and he laughed about it, and that he was such a liar. He was a compulsive and nonstop compulsive liar. She was astounded when she found out he was a senator. She said, my God, how did that guy get to that position? But then there's a cult of personality around him, and he's a magic guy inside a magic bubble, I guess. But it's history's going to...
Well, John, we're all wringing our hands, but we got to stop wringing our hands. We got to start wringing something else, like the phones. Back in a minute on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America. It is a fact that Obama is an agent provocateur as well as a president. He lives to provoke. He gets his, as we used to say, his jollies by provoking the white middle class as often as possible. He has a vendetta against the Constitution. He's gotten his way on everything. I don't think he's failed at anything that he set out to do, that the far left wanted him to do. And yet it's not enough for him. And that's what checks and balances are supposed to stop, is the emergence of a dictator. A president cannot write law. A president can only interpret law. If I remember correctly, and I'll have to check it during the break, it was Truman who was overridden by the Supreme Court in the following case. It was a steel strike. And Truman intervened and tried to write law, in essence, and end the strike. The Supreme Court said that he can't write law. He can only interpret the law. And they overrode the president. I'm convinced that no matter what Obama does on guns, will be overridden by the Supreme Court. That is, unless Justice Roberts' missing photographs suddenly appear again. The same missing photographs that were allegedly used to give us socialized / Cuban-style medicine against the wishes of virtually everyone in America except the deadbeats. A number of great callers are holding. If you're leaving us now after 2 hours, sayonara for today. See you tomorrow.
If you're just joining us, there's another huge hour across America right here on the Savage Nation with all the new stories that will be popping up, which is false police brutality, false global warming, false kindness from Obama, etc. Right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday. Blue Monday. Got to work, slack or sleep all deep.
I didn't hear Blue Monday being played. I just had to hear the music. Once again, we have another failure on the Savage Nation. So these things happen every day on the show. Every time we switch gears, we wind up with no music, no sound. Thus far, I think you still have a host who's talking. Could I be heard, gentlemen, in the studio there? I have no idea. The phone number is 855-407-2822. This means we have open lines. 855-400-SAVAGE is the phone number. This is our number 3. And although we did not play Blue Monday, we'll play it right now if we can, so that we know we really have a radio show and I'm not talking to myself.
Blue Monday.
There you go.
At a late Blue Monday. Got to work, flag or sleep all deep. Here come Tuesday. Oh, Tuesday. I'm so tired, got no time to play. Here come Wednesday, I'm beat to my side. My girl called.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. So let's begin this hour with this fact. ISIS, which is the Arab version of Hitler, people have called him Islamofascist for years, but the ISIS Hitlerites have trotted out the latest child terrorist in an execution video. They show a little bastard in a camouflage suit, a child. And it's been released by the Islamic State, showing the murder of 5 detainees while a preschool-age budding piece of human trash threatens more attacks with his little stinking finger pointing to the heavens where Allah awaits him, the brainwashed murderer. The terror tot appears at the end of the video wearing a camouflage military outfit with an ISIS headband. The Junior Jihadi says, "We will kill Kufar over there," as he points into the vast expanse of the desert. The poor prisoners speaking Arabic are introduced as the enemy. And I don't want to read any more. This leads me to the only solution to this problem, which is a nuclear weapon. They have strongholds. There are tactical nuclear weapons. They should all be killed along with their families. I don't want to hear about collateral damage. When it comes to ISIS, there is no collateral damage. They're all terrorists, down to the last fingernail of the last ISIS child. Now, I know this sounds harsh, and I'm not saying it for effect, but there is only one solution to this kind of insanity. This is a cancer, and like any cancer, it has to be wiped out before it spreads. Obama has let this cancer spread. I believe he's responsible for its creation, but I don't want to go into that right now. ISIS is a Frankenstein of the Obama administration and of several other Western governments that created this from the remnants of the Iraqi army under Saddam. I've traced this for you. I'm going to get very agitated. I don't mean to. They created it from the Republican Guard, which is why they're so skilled in their warfare, because these are very skilled generals running ISIS. Never forget who they are. These are skilled generals from Saddam's army. They formed a new army with weapons and special forces training, and they then went rogue.
and they started to attract the scum of the earth, promising them heaven itself. And so now when you see children like the Hitler Youth being initiated into this death cult, what is wrong with this idea of mine? You have to stop the cancer. You need to use the strongest chemotherapeutic agents that we have to kill the cancer before it spreads. We have the weapons, but we don't have the leadership. And the fact of the matter is, we absolutely need to stop them before it gets worse. At that note, on that note, we'll take our first call of this hour. Ron on WABC, line number 7. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael. I've been listening to you earlier regarding Obama's mental state. My background is somewhat in psychology, and I wanted to add to your conversation here that I feel that Obama is basically a malignant narcissist. And you've mentioned narcissism before, and a number of people have, but they haven't really touched on the core issue here. I feel that the man is acting out unconsciously driven conflicts out on the world stage symbolically with an attempt to try to resolve unconscious issues.
Well, you know, I have to interrupt because I interject, rather, because what you say I've thought myself, and I know what you're going to... Tell me if what you're going to say is this. He was raised by white grandparents, is that correct?
That's right.
Do you feel that some of his racial enmity towards white people is a result of this, some kind of resentment that his father left him?
Possibly, but I think it's also couched in terms of his own personal identity.
You mean he's trying to kill off one side of his heritage and identify only with the other?
Well, I don't know that, but I think he's got some very strong inner conflict going on that he's not even aware of. Of course, it's unconscious. And he's trying to make a resolution out on the world stage by recreating it. And by recreating the conflict, what you do is the conflict is inherently meant to fail. And all these things that he's involved in, they're all destructive, basically destructive acts, and they're designed to fail.
Now, why is he so unstoppable if he's so unstable?
Unstoppable by what? The government?
Why are there no checks and balances able to stop this sociopath in the White House?
Your guess is as good as mine, Michael.
Do you think there's blackmail involved, or do you think that they're just complicit, meaning the Republican Party, which is a Democrat party in disguise, just simply wants its own interests advanced, like coal for McConnell and oil export, and they're happy with that, and they don't care what he does other than that?
I get a feeling that we're all victims of collective numbness to everything.
Like, you were going to say a collective amnesia, I think you were struggling to say, right?
Hitler, they had all of Germany.
Wait, no. Did you want to say collective amnesia? I'm trying to understand what you were saying. Sir, did you mean collective amnesia because you can't hear me?
No, I mean, yeah, collective amnesia, exactly, on a national scale.
All right, so you think the nation is suffering collective amnesia, which is how the sociopath Barack Obama gets away with this?
Possibly, and possibly, as you mentioned, there's possibly some blackmail involved here. I don't know.
Well, then you have the nation filled with sportsomaniacs. I listen to men, white men. I hear them talking about sports and restaurants. I want to jab a fork into the table. Idiots. In a time like this, the idiots are sitting there talking about sports. I say to myself, I mean, yeah, that's the collective amnesia. You could say it's a drug. You have that. You have Howard Stern putting out defecation jokes, making hundreds of millions of dollars over a lifetime, putting out the most stupid, inane adolescent jokes. Who is his audience? Who is Howard Stern's audience? It's adolescent males, isn't it? They don't know what's going on. He has a big audience for flatulence. He's capitalized on it. But, you know, look, that's not going to get us anywhere. If all the smart people in the world, including guys like Howard Stern, were to stand up and be counted as Americans, we could stop this imbecile before it's too late. Thanks for calling. 855-400-9222.
7282 is the phone number. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2600.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
The politicians can pretend it's something else, but Donald Trump calls it radical Islamic terrorism. That's why he's calling for a temporary shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until we can figure out what's going on. He'll quickly cut the head off ISIS and take their oil. And he'll stop illegal immigration by building a wall on our southern border that Mexico will pay for.
We will make America great again.
We agree with you, Donald. We want Islamic State stopped. We want the surge coming over our southern border stopped. That's enough for me. Let's start with those two things. I told you there's a video coming out of a little monster, an Islamic monster. A child terrorist is shown in a suit in an execution video pointing to Allah and this and that. The Islamic State shows these little monsters being trained in the video before they kill people, shooting British men in the head, again, these vermin. And it ends like this. Before the shooting, a masked man with a British accent mocks Prime Minister David Cameron, calling him a slave of the West and a mule of the Jews. Then he kills these men. And then they say, ISIS will one day invade Britain and impose its extremist version of Islamic law. I want you liberal idiots to listen to this. He says, quote, only an imbecile would dare to wage war against a land where the law of Allah reigns supreme, he says. The Islamic State, our country, is here to stay, and we will continue to wage jihad, break borders, and one day invade your land where we will rule by the Sharia, close quote. How many Muslims here in America want Sharia law? Have you seen the latest polls? You morons. You know, you liberals think that you're being tolerant, but you're really just being cowardly. Do you understand that? Do you understand the difference between tolerance and cowardly behavior? Okay, well, I mean, I see the difference. Let's take some callers. Shulamit on KSFO, welcome to the program. Please make your point.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller, and I do agree with Mr. Trump, but I do not believe that he has the temperament to be the president of the most powerful country in the world. Wars have been started by insults between leaders, and he does not have a filter on his mouth. Now,
Interesting. Good point. So who started the war with Islamic State? Mr. Obama, who has such a filter?
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. I couldn't resist. You're playing a board game with me. I couldn't help it.
Oh, no, I'm not playing any games. I think
let's review. You say Trump doesn't have the temperament because he shoots his mouth off and he's liable to start a war inadvertently. So what? Obama has the temperament? He started a war with ISIS, didn't he?
Well, yes, you're right. I agree with you. But I think...
So I don't think it's the temperament that started this war with ISIS. I think it's the religion itself and its interpretation under the rules of an 18th century Wahhabist from Saudi Arabia that causes this war. The spread of this cancer is from the Wahhabi sect of Islam. And that's the problem that people have to come to understand. But it's way beyond the learning level of the average person. But you don't like Trump, what? Because he's too vulgar in a saying, or too shooting from the hip? What part of it?
I'll give you an example. I'm Israeli. I have joint citizenship, U.S. and Israeli. When Netanyahu was first prime minister, he was a lone wolf. He was doing his own thing, and he was not successful. This second time through that he is prime minister, he has learned his lesson. He's learned to be a team player. He's learned to moderate his words, and he's been very successful. And I think Trump needs to learn to think before he speaks.
Maybe he will in his second 4 years.
Well, that's,
you're fun to speak with because you get the innuendo right away. So, yeah, I know what you're saying. You're saying give him the first 4 years, he'll be a little rough around the edges, and the second four, he'll be a little more polite about it. At that point, I'll be vice president, and I'll be advising him to cool it a little bit, take more vacations in Palm Beach.
I think he'd be a fabulous Secretary of Commerce. I think we've got the entire cabinet right now, with the different possible candidates that we've got.
Well, what about, come on, you're a very intelligent caller. What do you think about him stopping the flood of illegal aliens from Mexico, building a wall and stopping all Muslim immigration until we can sort out who's here and what they intend to do while they're here? What do you think about that?
I'm absolutely for it. I'm a certified Spanish interpreter. I work with a lot of Hispanics from many, many countries. And yes, it has to be stopped. I am the daughter and the granddaughter of immigrants. I understand the immigrant experience. And yes, we have to build a wall.
I'm the son of an immigrant, and I have to keep saying I'm a son of an immigrant. So people understand that I have one foot in the old world and one foot in the new world. Which is very unique, by the way, in the media. I don't know that there are any other Americans at the top of the American media landscape like myself who come from an immigrant background. And I'm very sensitive to this idea. But most people in the media are knee-jerk liberals who say that it's not our way, you have to accept immigrants. It's nonsense. If you look at the Statue of Liberty, it says, give us our poor, give us your poor, your hungry, and your whatever. What I said to people is that was written by Emma Lazarus when there was no welfare waiting for the poor and the hungry.
Right.
And those yearning to be free. In other words, they came here to work in factories. They didn't come here to live on welfare.
That's right. And they were, and many of them couldn't work because they refused to work on Shabbat and it ruined their lives, but they found a way. They found a way. And that's how it should
be. Okay, well, that means adapting to the mores of the land rather than trying to make the land adapt to your religious viewpoint, which is the case with Sharia interpretation of Muslim law. They don't want to do as the Romans do. They want the Romans to do as they do. Thank you so much for calling the program. Let's jump to Richard in Eugene, Oregon. Richard on KUGN. Go ahead, please. 1 minute or less.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say I listened to you not because I agree with you, but I learned from you. And I think a lot of people talk about sports not because they're stupid. They just don't care. So thinking about politics and everything else is a lot harder.
I understand. Yes, they don't care. That's a good point. But to go back to your first point, you say you're a liberal. You don't agree with me. You listen and you learn. If you learn and don't change your ways, then what's the good of learning?
I never said I didn't change my ways. I just don't.
Okay. I'm going to help you change your ways. I'm sending you a copy of Government Zero, 400 pages with facts. I'm sure that you'll read some of it and disagree with all of it. When I come back, your calls right here on the Savage Network.
My New Year's resolution is to move forward on our unfinished business as much as I can.
Like flooding America with cheap labor for Zuckerberg.
That's what this American project is all about.
Uh-huh.
That's especially true for one piece of unfinished business. Our epidemic of gun violence. Last month, we remembered the third anniversary of Newtown. This Friday, I'll be thinking about my friend, Gabby Giffords.
All right, let's
5 years
turn it off.
Into her recovery.
He's a demonic maniac. He has one goal. Take the Constitution apart one day at a time. He floods the U.S. job market with foreign competition. He skirts Congress once again. He seeks to admit another 100,000 foreigners to work here when jobs are few and labor market participation is very low. It is not in the interest of U.S. workers, especially tech workers. He is doing it only to satisfy the pirates in Silicon Valley and elsewhere in those businesses. He plans to award via executive order work permits to 100,000 foreign college graduates, including deportable aliens, in order to compete with U.S. workers for jobs. So he doesn't represent the United States in any way. He never has and he never will. He's just a smooth salesman. He's one of the greatest con men in the history of the world. And how he's gotten away without being impeached is only a matter of owning the government media complex. and the fact that there is no Republican Party. The Republican Party consists of special interests, as you well know, and it is now a puppet Democrat Party under the tutelage of Quisling O'Malley, whatever, sorry, I don't even know his name, Ryan, can't remember the beard. All I know is the beard. It's a myth that there's a Republican Party. Just as there's a myth of cops who are killing young black men. Another great myth of Barack Obama and his insane regime. I have the data. If you listen to these liars in the media and the liar in the White House, you'd think we're in the grip of an unprecedented crime wave. Wanton murder, in which cops go out and randomly gun down innocent, unarmed teen blacks just for sport. It's a fake narrative put out by the gangsters and the Black Lives Matter movement. It's a lie put out about Ferguson, Missouri. It's a lie about Michael Brown. It's all a lie. I have the data. I have the data for you to look at and listen to, but I don't expect you to listen to the data any more than you listen to the true data on global warming, which is another gigantic propaganda exercise. I found something out over this week, as I've known for a long time. So-called progressives or so-called liberals are not interested in what the facts are. They're interested only in naked power, and they will use all means necessary to push their agenda, as you will find out in 2016. And so we have to push back. May I blow my own horn for a moment, because no one else will? As you know, many people listen to this and other radio shows, unfortunately not on terrestrial stations, which I wish you would listen on, because that's the bread and butter of the show. The terrestrial radio stations, the big, big signals that we talk about every day. But many of you listen on iPhones and Android devices, computers. It's a growing trend. And that's called streaming radio. Many of you can't get it in some markets, so you go on to a website and get it. Well, you may not know this because no one will tell it to you, but it came in. There's a company that checks on these things, like who listens to the shows on streaming, and one of them is TalkStream Live. And they sampled 1.7 million homes. 1.7 million devices, in other words, were sampled in the fourth quarter of 2015, October, November, December. And I'm happy to tell you that this show is number one by a land mile. They say that Savage's streaming success captured the top spot for all four quarters in 2015. His massive margins over all of the talk competitors is unparalleled. I have a 27 share. The next is Limbaugh at 14.1, which, I don't know, says a lot. And I want to thank you for listening to the show. Don't call and tell me how great I am. But I think it's important for you to know that the show is doing very well indeed. And I hope to build on this year in 2016. And we'll see where that goes. I can't promise you that I'll be on the air in 2017 anywhere. I may decide I've had enough. It's that simple. I may decide that this is it. I may decide this is it. I may decide I've had enough. I may take you through the election and then disappear and never be seen again or heard from again. Or I may not. I have to see how the year goes. But this is a big year for talk radio. It's a big year for myself. And frankly, we don't know what the year is going to bring. Except we have a maniac in the White House who continues to upset the apple cart. He has a vendetta against all things dear to this nation, including the Constitution itself, as you well know. And I would be remiss to tell you that I don't notice these things. But the fact is that there's a lot of deep content in most of my show. And I'm not doing this to compare myself and say I'm better than the others. The fact is that there's a difference. And I just think people go, they gravitate to where they want to gravitate to. And I think that the podcasts give people a chance to get into the deep weeds. In other words, the grass. And start listening again and say, well, what did he really mean when he said that about Russia today? Can I listen to that again? Because I said something, I think, important about Russia. And I don't know that people caught what I said. I don't think it's a bad thing that Russia is there. I think they're doing what we should be doing. But Obama has lost so much credibility that Iran and Saudi Arabia would not listen to him, neither trust him. So I don't know. See if Russia can do that. I think I've been gifted with a phenomenal amount of energy that I never knew. I always knew I was energetic, but I didn't know I was this energetic. you know, it comes down to the finish line, where you are at the finish line, not at the start. A lot of people start out hot and they just, you know, die out along the way. I also believe that we're supposed to leave the world a better place than we find it. I was taught that by liberal professors when I was young and in college. I used to hear that liberal adage. Try to leave the world a better place than you found it. Well, how can you leave the world a better place than you found it when you have a man who is so intent upon destroying everything decent in this country? And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Why would he flood America with illegal aliens? Does that help even black people? Let's focus on that for a minute. How does flooding America with illegal aliens help the poorest of the poor, whether they be black or white? It does not. So you have to see that we have very powerful interests at work here that transcend race and time. Well, you know, Government Zero had a good run, and it came out in October. It made it to number 3 on the New York Times list. It's still selling, by the way, because even in the election year, people want to look back and say, wait a minute, this is not old news. Page 71, Islam's 1400-year war against the world. Maybe that would help the New York Times understand that this didn't begin with George Bush. Maybe the idiots in the media could learn a little history by reading the book. Maybe they could learn that there's a thing called the Vostok ice core samples, which may help them understand that global warming, global cooling is a natural phenomenon, which is certainly not to argue for pollution. See, this is the problem. I want to go into that another time. I don't really want to get sidetracked right now. The fact is that there's a lot of information there, but I have a new ebook coming out this week, which I'm not going to talk about to any great extent at all. It's on how to fight viral diseases, how to fight colds, how to fight the flu. It's about immigrants and epidemics, about the diseases that immigrants are bringing in, and how Obama has opened the floodgates. I have the data on it that's going to make your hair stand up. But, you know, I've talked about this for years. Remember when he flooded America with the Central American kids? Not this summer, but the summer before. And how many of them were bringing in a new strain of flu that was knocking our kids dead, killing some of them, paralyzing others. It is all in this book on immunity that's an e-book that'll be out. I don't even know how to direct you to it right now because it's not for sale yet. But I'm telling you what's on the horizon. And then in May, I have my Teddy book coming out. It's basically a picture book of me and my little dog, Ted. All right, let's get down to brass tacks. It's 2016, and the presidential race is the number one issue for talk radio from now right through the election in November. The average person will still listen to music and sports right until the election. That's if they even care about it. That's if they even vote. But we're going to talk about it. I'm not going to do it 3 hours a day because it's boring. How much can you say? Donald Trump ran his first political ad today, which is worth playing, by the way, because he's doubling down on all his positions. Yet all of the intellectuals hate Donald Trump. Oh, they're so smart. Oh, all of the great left-wingers, they're so smart. The country's being overrun. The economy is being hollowed out. The language is being bastardized. You name it. But they're so smart, they know that Trump's an evil man. Why, he's Mussolini, maybe even Hitler. He's so bad. Why? Why? What has he done that's so bad? Well, he doesn't want Muslims to come in. Oh, he doesn't. Well, let's analyze that for a moment. And let's see what the waves of recent Muslim migrants have brought to America. Well, let's go to Europe to see the real truth. Came out today. 1,000-plus migrants brawl, rape, sexually assault, and steal at only one German train station on New Year's Eve. It was in Breitbart today by Oliver Lane. Did you hear what happened in Cologne, the hotbed of Islam? It turned into a war zone. 1,000 of them celebrated by throwing fireworks into crowds and sexually assaulting German women caught up in the train station. I'll read the ordeal to you on the Savage Nation, so you can see what they said to her and what they did to her and other girls who they considered fair game because they're not Muslims, they're considered whores. I'm sorry to be so blunt, all of you intellectuals out there, but groping is groping and cursing is cursing. And the group was made up exclusively of young Muslims who attacked these German girls. So many men groping at her. that she couldn't even identify any of the perpetrators to the police. One woman had her tights and underwear torn off by the crowd of young migrants. And a police in Cologne said that there had been rapes at the station that night. So far, police have identified 80 victims of the Muslim gangs, 35 of which were subjected to sexual attacks. Others were men or women, simply assaulted or robbed. There's your migrants. You want more of them in America? Then why don't you join the intellectuals at the New York Times who think that Trump is evil? Maybe you can bring some of these people to a neighborhood near you and then say, I don't know how it happened. Merkel should be arrested for war crimes. Angela Merkel in Germany is a war criminal for what she is doing to Germany. How she gets away with it is astounding, but it's no different than what goes on in America. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2640.
Although we have to be very clear that this is not going to solve every violent crime in this country. It's not going to prevent every mass shooting. It's not going to keep every gun out of the hands of a criminal. It will potentially save lives in this country. I'm also confident that the recommendations that are being made by my team here are ones that are entirely consistent with the Second Amendment and people's lawful.
Right, he's a maniac. He's an out-of-control dictator. Everyone knows this. Anyone who studied the history of America and of dictatorships realizes that we're dealing with an unconstitutional, completely insane man. And the fact of the matter is, a revolution was fought by the antecedents in this nation against the tyranny of one unelected monarch, and now we are surrendering our constitution to this maniac, this sociopath, Barry Obama. First of all, he's lying about it. The background checks that he wants to put in or close the gun show loophole, whatever, would not have stopped the Muslim murderers in San Bernardino. Where did he get his guns from? Where did the Muslim murderer get his guns from in San Bernardino? What we need is arrests, immediate arrests of Department of Homeland Security people who let them into this country even though they never should have been allowed in this country. The wife, that is. That's what we need. We don't need gun control. We need political control. We need control of these psychotic fascists working for Obama around the clock to destroy everything dear in this nation. And believe me, he's going to hit a firestorm. This gun control executive order is going to create... He is throwing gasoline on a fire that's already burning. And he's doing it on purpose. As an earlier caller said, the man is a sociopath. He likes exciting and inciting angst in people. He loves to get people insane. And the fact is that this Republican-controlled Congress waves the white flag of surrender every time. But he's going to hit a stone wall with this legislation. It's impossible to believe that this man, who would be a king, does not understand that we will fight this tooth and nail. Not just me. Everyone in the country, including liberal Democrats, will fight him on this. There's only a very small coterie, new word, a very small coterie of left-wing fanatics who want the Second Amendment eliminated, as does Obama. But I want to repeat before the show comes to an end that we have played for you today the most important soundbite of 2016, which I hope you will steal if you're in the business, and play it on your own show, make believe that you had your staff dig it up. It's Elena Kagan, as she was going through her confirmation hearings to be put on the Supreme Court, quizzed by the quizzling Senator Leahy from Vermont, who set up the question to make, because this was a question that conservatives were worried about. Where did she stand on the Second Amendment? So the quizzling Leahy asks her a set-up question, and you must listen to it. It's the most important soundbite of 2016. Please, Robert, play it now.
Is there any doubt after the court's decision in Heller and McDonald that the Second Amendment to the Constitution secures a fundamental right for an individual to own a firearm? use it for self-defense in their home?
There is no doubt, Senator Leahy, that is binding precedent, entitled to all the respect of binding precedent in any case. So that is settled law.
It's settled law. Heller is settled law. All of you good liberals, never forget what you just heard in the Savage Nation as you smirk your way into the next hour. Your stooge on the Supreme Court is on record during a confirmation hearing saying that the Second Amendment is settled law. Settled law means settled law in any dialect, whether it's New Yorkese or Far West speakeasy.